The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We begin with our impact segment, which is always 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I pray you had a blessed weekend, and here we are. It does feel like a Monday to me. I was just preparing for this hour, praying. I have news stories in front of me. Most are, I'll be very honest, most are very depressing. The lies in the world being presented as truth, the answers being pointed to man and not God. How do we navigate through all of this? Now, I'm going to begin with a message that's not popular, but I'm not interested in popularity. I would have never gotten in this medium. There are those that, well, are on the front lines and doing things in the name of God. There are people that have their backs turned on God and say, no thanks. I will live my life as if I'm my own God. And then there's Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I will tell you, I cannot do this life one moment without my Savior and my King. He is the one true God. And yet there are a lot of gods being presented for one's own interpretation. And as a man who led the New Age for 21 years here in Southern California, believe me, there are scores of people that will follow any perceived God other than the true God. Do you know why that is? Part of the reason why that is, or a large portion of the reason why that is because there was this man named Jesus Christ who walked along the water, said, follow me. Now, we have this intrinsic sense inside by which we would rather follow someone else. As long as they tell us, well, this is going to make things right or better or easier or whatever it is. But Jesus said, follow me. And then he said, deny yourself and pick up your cross. That's when some go, time out, deny myself. Well, if I can't rely on myself, who can I depend on? You start reading God's word in the Bible and you read Proverbs 3, 5, 6. God basically says, don't rely on your own understanding. And the world says, well, pardon me? He says, I will make all your paths straight. He gives us free will. If you've ever in your younger days tried to date somebody and you ever fall for somebody and they just didn't have it for you and you do everything you can to try to make them fall in love with you, it doesn't work. God wants to know he loves you and wants you to love him, but it's not a thing that is coerced. It's a free will. It's a choice. And when we talk about choices, there are things like, well, now we're going to get into the area where we start understanding why the world may say no. There's a three-letter world, a word in the world that many people say no thank you to, both in and out of the church. It's called, well, it begins with an S and ends in N. Maybe you can figure out what that word is. It's not son either. The moment you start talking about things like sin or repentance, the human will which is sin-filled, resists such things. Not today. Maybe when I'm old, maybe when I sow my oats, then I'll get serious about my walk with God, whoever God is. And yet Jesus says, my yoke is light, follow me, come to me. So I want to begin with a prayer that will convict you one way or another, a prayer that you cannot misinterpret or misunderstand. And in the day and age where we hear all of these, this is the answer. This is the problem. This is the answer. Racism is the problem. This is the one of the new ones. The problem is, we are sinful. And the only answer is Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, repentance, getting right with God today. No, my life's okay. No thanks. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year. So I want to pray a prayer of power and truth from a man that led his life in power and truth.
Will you pray this prayer with me before I pray with you, Lord Jesus? I do humble myself and I come to you for forgiveness. Lord, I have a problem. I have this root in me. I'm asking you to pluck it out. I'm asking you to forgive me and help me to forgive and cover the sins of all those who have hurt me. Lord Jesus, I want to be free. I want to be free right now. So I cast this in your feet. I give it to you. Cleanse me. In Jesus' name, I receive healing of every hurt and every root to be plucked out. Now let me pray for you. Lord, I know you hear when we pray. I know you hear when we cry out to you in our need. And I pray, Lord, that you do that by your Spirit right now. Just move in and among us. He said, I'm among you. I am with you. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And Lord, we come fearlessly now. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We ask you, Lord, to help us to face this and say, I don't want it anymore. I don't want anything unlike Christ in me. I want to be free. I want the glory of Christ in my life. I want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I need a new baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I need this from you now, Jesus. We need to hear from you. Cleanse and sanctify. Change us, God, by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have come down and you are breathing on this church and you're breathing throughout the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just raise a hand or both hands to the Lord. And say, I believe, Lord, right from your heart. I believe you, Lord, for cleansing and healing. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between. Hallelujah. Now, you can be free right now if you receive by faith the word of the Lord. You can be free.
Pastor David Wilkerson. I think the question, similar to the question at the pool of Bethesda with a paralytic of 38 years, do you want to be free? You want to be healed? Do you want to be free? I think there's a payoff in staying in bondage or staying in victimhood. This idea of change can be very scary. Well, if I become a Christian, what's going to happen to me? What's my life going to look like? Oh my goodness, I became a Christian years ago and I've backslidden and I don't even go to church anymore. I haven't read a Bible in a number of months and I'm so struggling. I don't even know if God's real anymore. I cry out to him and he doesn't respond. He's silent. And when I need him most, he's most silent. And we go, it's hard to follow a God that's not there when I need him. when the truth is he's been there all along. He's with you right now. We just kind of pick and choose. It's like, Jesus, I'm good today. I'll be around. If I really need you, I'll call out to you. A woman that knows struggle quite well is Johnny Erickson Tata. She's been in a wheelchair for decades and decades of her life after an accident that broke her neck jumping into a lake.
Maybe the really handicapped people are the ones who, I don't know, when they wake up in the morning, maybe they throw back their covers, hit the alarm, jump out of bed, scarf down breakfast, take a quick shower, give God a speedy tip of the hat of a 10-minute quiet time, and then they're zooming out the front door on automatic cruise control. You know, if you live life like that, James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resists you. That's not just meant for non-believers. No, he's talking to believers here. God resists the proud. Who are the proud? People who think, well, I accepted Christ as my Savior, what, 10, 15, 25 years ago. I've been to enough Bible studies. I know the scriptures. I go to church regularly. Look, I've got the lay of the land here. I understand what it means to walk with Christ. So, you know, God, I'm just going to get up in the morning, go into my day, and if anything happens, if there's an unexpected problem, I'll check in with you. But for the most part, I can take it from here. God resists us when we start our day like that. He's against the proud. He opposes the proud. But don't you love those buts in Scripture? But he gives grace to the humble. And who are the humble? Simply people like you and me who wake up in the morning and say, I need you, Jesus. I can't do this thing called life without you. Please, Lord Jesus, help me. That is the biblical way to live. That's the Christian way to wake up in the morning. That's the only way to wake up in the morning, needing Jesus desperately.
Johnny Erickson Tata. So David Wilkerson, one of our most anointed pastors of years past, Johnny Erickson Tata on, well, how we just tend to call on God when we need him. And then there's a pastor named Francis Chan who shares the gospel in a whole different perspective.
Last week I was in Dallas and I was speaking in this giant stadium, and the picture came to my mind as I was praying about what to speak. It was the image of these 50,000 people in a giant swimming pool with life vests on. I go, this is what I see right now. It's just a bunch of people with life jackets on, and I cannot tell who can swim and who can't, because you're all being artificially kept afloat, whether it's through your accountability group or your Christian family or your Christian school, you know, or your Christian church, your Christian workplace, you know, your podcast, your Christian music, all these things artificially propping you up. But take that thing off. Let's see if you can swim. You know, let's see what actually is coming from the inside. Like, I don't need all, because you drop me in the middle of nowhere as the only believer there. I'm not going to walk away from Jesus. I'm rooted. I'm grounded. I can swim on my own, you know, because the Spirit won't let me go back into sin. The Spirit won't let me just sit around and play all day and then retire. The Spirit makes me think about the kingdom and about seeking his kingdom first. That's what he does in me. Man, it's time that we challenge people to take off that life jacket and quit being their life jacket, because it's better for them to find out now that they can't swim than to wait in the end till the end.
Francis Chan. So where do you fit? How's your walk? Do you even know God? 888-528-2557. Now, I know this is radio. Thousands of you are listening. Most of you are just kind of passively listening, and I understand the medium here. But I still think it's a worthwhile question. Where is your walk with God? Are you right with God? Yesterday I was at a large church looking at an auditorium of thousands of people, and I just prayed. Safe to say not everybody in that church knows God. Maybe they're searching. Maybe they're what I call a professional Christian. Kind of like what Johnny Erickson Tata was referring to. I got this. I'm good. If I need you, Lord, I'll call on you. Or someone is listening right now and you don't know Jesus and you're just living your life and, oh, I don't know, you're involved in watching the NBA playoffs and, hey, how about them Clippers? Or you're trying to make money at a job right now where you think there's something called financial security. Or maybe you're seeking in a love relationship answers to all of your struggles. And I can give you a number of scenarios in life that, if we're all honest, we've probably all chased at one time or another. But I'm the guy that says, time to wake up. And this type of radio may not be good for, well, I don't know, ratings or popularity or whatever. And why ever many of you think we do this or I do this. But I'm not only the guy that to just gently nudge you, I'm the guy that like poke you a little bit like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? I believe in a God of the universe that sees everything you do, everything you do, everything you do. Or that somehow when Jesus was asked, the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we say, not today. I'm good. I'm okay. Or I'm not necessarily interested in this Jesus right now. I'm just the wake-up guy. I'm just here to say there is no tomorrow. If you think that somehow it's going to be in your time and the way that you lay it out, I'll say I hope and pray that's the truth, but that's not real life. There are no guarantees in this life. I don't have to tell you. You've seen it. You've seen things that don't make sense. You've seen good people whose lives end way too soon. Things that are hard to comprehend that even are going on right now. But yet so many of us, we're zombies. We're into somnambulism. We're just walking around in like a deep sleep. What's the next fix to get through the day? For some figuratively, for some literally. And then there's Jesus, alive, present, all-knowing, has the answer to your life, and yet for various reasons, some of us say no. I want to understand that one. I know why I said no for 54 years. You want to hear some of my reasons? Stupidity, stubbornness, sinfulness, selfishness. And then I met the risen Savior. And I realized, what have I done with my life? That He wants to love me. He wants to show me my birthright. He wants to show me my purpose and plan in my life. But I had to take that step. Sometimes the first step is the hardest one. Now, we've done altar calls on the program. I'm not soliciting those that don't know God to call in and we'll do a prayer on the air. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is I'm the wake-up guy. And if you're asleep, if you've backslidden, if you don't know who God is because you're willfully entrenched in all sorts of stuff you shouldn't be doing, you need to stop it right now and get right with God. And part of that first step in getting right with God is the prayer we started with and the prayer we're going to end with. Because the Holy Spirit is real. If you say this prayer with sincerity and honesty and openness, God will move in your life. It will be undeniable. And quite honestly, are you just tired of you? Aren't you tired of getting up every morning just trying to find something in the day to get you through? Some little victory with a small V. When the risen Savior is the only one who is the master of freedom and victory. Do you want to have freedom in your life? Real freedom. Complete and absolute freedom. And joy and peace and all of the fruits of the Spirit. You've got to take the first step. He won't infringe on your free will. That's what a good God he is. He will not, absolutely not infringe on your free will. But if you say yes, please, God, help me. Please come into my life. Please reveal yourself. I can't do this anymore. If that's you, reach out to me. Send me an email. Call the program. 888-528-2557. And my first hope is that you will sincerely, again, say this prayer.
Will you pray this prayer with me before I pray with you? Lord Jesus, I do humble myself and I come to you for forgiveness. Lord, I have a problem. I have this root in me. I'm asking you to pluck it out. I'm asking you to forgive me and help me to forgive and cover the sins of all those who have hurt me. Lord Jesus, I want to be free. I want to be free right now. So I cast this in your feet. I give it to you. Cleanse me. In Jesus' name, I receive healing of every hurt and every root to be plucked out. Now let me pray for you. Lord, I know you hear when we pray. I know you hear when we cry out to you in our need. And I pray, Lord, that you do that by your Spirit right now. Just move in and among us. He said, I'm among you. I am with you. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And Lord, we come fearlessly now. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We ask you, Lord, to help us to face this and say, I don't want it anymore. I don't want anything unlike Christ in me. I want to be free. I want the glory of Christ in my life. I want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I need a new baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I need this from you now, Jesus. We need to hear from you. Cleanse and sanctify. Change us, God, by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have come down. And you are breathing on this church. And you're breathing throughout the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just raise a hand or both hands to the Lord and say, I believe. I believe, Lord, right from your heart. I believe you, Lord, for cleansing and healing. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between. Hallelujah. Now, you can be free right now if you receive by faith the word of the Lord. You can be free.
And the question is, again, do you want to be free? 888-528-2557. One last thought, we'll break and we'll transition into the next portion of this radio program. I know there's an adversarial spirit. Whenever I talk this way or share these prayers, I'll get emails or I'll get phone calls. You may be listening right now. I just want to tell you, God loves you too. And if you really think in any way, shape, or form this is a lot of nonsense or that Jesus is one of many, all I can tell you is maybe you've never actually talked or had a conversation with a true follower of Jesus Christ. I know in my younger days, I didn't. When I was rebellious and full of myself and said, no, thank you, I'm not interested in being a Jesus freak. Really never had anybody walk alongside me and spell it out for me. I just thought it was a bunch of religion, and if I didn't follow God, I would be destined to a life in a warm, hot place, and it'd be just awful. Nothing about who Jesus is. Nothing about why he died on a cross for me. Nothing about the purpose and plan for my life right now moving forward. So, stop being a victim. Take responsibility. Make choices. Choices have consequences, by the way. Sin can be kind of fun. Sin has consequences, too. But I hope and pray, maybe today, before the end of this program, maybe if you are a non-believer and you'd like to have an honest conversation with a follower of Christ, you are always welcome to call. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. If you want to email me, you can do that too. And when we continue, yesterday was Father's Day. What about children speaking out in the place of parents? Because parents have kind of been relegated to the sideline and we don't want to engage. We don't want to even partake in what happens in the lives of our children. There's a teenage girl in Virginia that has something very powerful to say, not only about her life, but about parenthood. She's all of 14. We'll share that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. By the way, for those that are fathers listening right now, I pray you had a blessed Father's Day yesterday. It's interesting how we have these days by which we acknowledge individuals, but we have months like Pride Month, or an entire month. We hear about the celebration of a lifestyle. And if you don't acknowledge that, if you don't go along with what you're being told, well, you're called a lot of names. I was watching track and field over the weekend, and they did an expose on a transgender runner. There's a story in the news about a transgender weightlifter, I guess, qualified for the Olympics. We're a number of months into this new experiment in D.C., an experiment gone bad, an administration that falls all over itself, that somehow biological males, if they say they're women, well, let's just, we're all for their right to live as they choose. We've lived thousands of years as a civilization and humanity that questioning things like marriage between one man and one woman. Now we live at a time if you stand for that right and you stand for the covenant of marriage as you believe God has ordained it, one man, one woman. Maybe we should have a month for traditional marriage. Nope, uh-uh. Pride Month. Get out your flags. Teach it to our babies in school. Hey, Johnny, if you have any doubts, maybe you're a girl. We're just going to influence you and encourage you. We have parents that you have children, and we don't know if our baby's a boy or a girl. We don't even know. The baby will choose its own gender one day. A lot of darkness in the world, and then when light penetrates, it's undeniably evident and so easy to see. Here's a story that perfectly illustrates that light. A teenage girl whose comments before the Loudoun County School Board in Virginia went viral explained why she felt called to speak out. 14-year-old Jolene Grover told members of the school board last week that their policy of allowing males into girls' private spaces, such as restrooms and locker rooms, is an affront to female students. Sporting a green T-shirt that read, "Woman is female," again, 14-year-old Jolene Grover, who's now homeschooled, was previously enrolled in a Loudoun County public school, told the board members, quote, "Everyone knows what a boy is, even you." She went on to say, "Your policies are dangerous and rooted in sexism. Boys are reading erotica in the classrooms next to girls, and you want to give them access to girls' locker rooms. And you want to force girls to call those boys she?" She went on to say, "You do this in the name of inclusivity while ignoring the girls who will pay the price. Your policies choose boys' wants over girls' needs," end quote. This is a 14-year-old young girl. She also recounted that when she expressed concern to a guidance counselor about these policies, she was dismissed, told there are stalls in the bathroom. In an email to the Christian Post, Grover said that she's no longer a student in the public school system, but she spoke out because she's especially concerned for her friends who are still there. One in particular that's starting the sixth grade in the fall. Grover said, "I've seen her for years, and she's like a little sister to me. I also speak out because there are too many cowardly adults who are remaining quiet about this issue. I want adults to stop calling me brave for fighting a battle that wasn't mine to begin with." By the way, if you have any comments, again, if you're not sleepwalking, if you take your finger and feel your wrist, if you got a pulse, you have something to say about this story, phone lines are open, 888-528-2557. Let's go back and repeat what she shared and finish the story again. 14-year-old Jolene Grover talked about her concerns for a fellow friend who's about to start public school. She says, "I'm speaking out because there's too many cowardly adults who are remaining quiet about this issue. I want adults to stop calling me brave for fighting a battle that wasn't mine to begin with." She went on to say they need to speak out publicly about this issue, not just whisper to their friends and other people who agree with them that boys shouldn't be allowed in the girls' locker rooms and bathrooms. She said, "Some of my friends that have enrolled in the school have spoken to me about their concern with these policies, but they're also too afraid to speak out." Is this microphone on? If I was listening to this program, I don't know if I would call, but at the very least, I would kind of gasp. This 14-year-old young girl has more conviction than so many adults that I know when it comes to anything in life. We've talked about the coronavirus and mask mandates. By the way, we have an update on masks. And we're making our kids wear masks. University of Florida just did a lab study on what has transpired by wearing masks ongoing. We'll get to that in due time. I can't help but think that this is one example of many of struggles going across all over the country. And yet, where are we as adults to speak out? Where are those followers of Christ that say no more? One of the ones that really gets me is this ongoing white supremacy drumbeat from the Biden administration. This is the greatest threat to our country. And I'll get back to this story, but did you see what happened in Chicago over the weekend? Mayor Lori Lightfoot always talking about white supremacy, white racism. You know how many people were shot in Chicago just over the weekend? No, it's the white supremacists. Those are the people that we need to be concerned about. Here's a young 14-year-old girl saying, I'm concerned about what's going on in my school. Yet Tanner Cross, an employee of this very same school system, praise God he's been reinstated, but he was fired from his position from saying this at a board meeting.
My name is Tanner Cross, and I'm speaking out of love for those who suffer with gender dysphoria. 60 Minutes this past Sunday interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt led astray because lack of pushback or how easy it was to make physical changes to their bodies in just 3 months. They are now detransitioning. It's not my intention to hurt anyone, but there are certain truths that we must face when ready. We condemn school policies like 8040 and 8035 because it will damage children, defile the holy image of God. I love all of my students, but I will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion, it's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God.
And for that, he was relieved of his duty. And it's only because he filed a lawsuit after he was placed on administrative leave that he got his job back. Or at least the court system ruled he must be reinstated. Who knows what kind of atmosphere he's going back into? AAA 528-2557. I get the occasional email, you're so abrasive. You're not epitomizing what a Christian is. I look at the phones. They're quiet. It's not like we lack listeners. Trust me. There are a few of you listening. And I understand it takes a bit of courage to step out and say no more. It takes a bit of courage to say, not on my watch. I have a men's ministry. We challenge men all the time to take back ground that they've given up to the evil one. I'm the wake-up call. 888-528-2557. Any thoughts at all about the story I just read or anything else, you're welcome to call. We have a wide open board. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. 14-year-old Jolene Grover was a student at a public school system in Loudoun County, Virginia, until recently. Now she's speaking out against the school board that is embracing this idea that biological boys can say they're girls. She had some other choice words to say about adults. She said the idea that adults need to stop calling her brave for fighting a battle that wasn't hers to begin with. And that adults are the ones that need to step forward and speak out. Let's take a few phone calls here. Kate in Laverne. Kate, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. I just wanted to let you know that I have tried to get a hold of my representative, Grace Napolitano, several times. And to no avail. Nobody contacts me back. And I don't know where else to go because my school district is extremely conservative. And we're not dealing with the same stuff other school districts are dealing with as of right now. So I'm asking you, where else would I go to share my my thoughts and my disgust in what they're doing for our children?
Okay, I'm a little confused. I don't know who the person is you made reference to. Who is that person?
Grace Napolitano. She's our local...
Is she like your...
She's not our senator. She's not our senator.
Is she your congressperson in your community?
Yes.
She has an office, you know.
Does she have one local?
I would imagine she does. That would be easy enough to find out.
Thank you.
That's my guess. I don't know. You say, what else can you do? Are there other parents in your community that are concerned as well? Do they have school board meetings? Do you have any children in school yourself? Maybe grandchildren? I don't know. But be creative is part of it. I always get emails from people saying, well, what should I do? What's the right thing to do? Anything. Do anything. Pray. Pray even more devoutly. Kate, I appreciate you very much. Thank you for calling. Let's talk to Jerry in Montebello. Jerry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
So, I've been seeing this issue pop up in the company that I left at the end of the year, and a lot of these other publicly traded companies have devoted this entire part of their company to Pride and LGBTQ. And some of these folks were afraid to say anything about it. One, I wonder if they're concerned about losing their jobs. They're too comfortable in it. If they lose their jobs, maybe they get too much credit card debt or something where it'll be such a huge impact on them where they're afraid to say something. They were almost going so far as to making us put things at the bottom of our signature page that says, like, ally for equality.
And oh, boy.
I call that ally for iniquity instead. And I think on their web pages, I've started tweeting and putting on Facebook, of course, my, you know, feelings about this. But even on my LinkedIn, I've actually been brave enough to do that. But still, we've got to say we are celebrating known sin. And they were taking another sin called pride and spending an entire month celebrating a known sin. We're all sinners, and we need a Savior. But we should not be mainstreaming and telling people that it's okay to do what you're doing, because somebody's going to have to pay for that to the Lord one day. And whether it's a company, whether it's our nation, or individually, we're going to face the Lord and say, what did you do, and why did you promote and allow someone to spend their lives caught up in sin and tell them that was normal?
Jerry, not only am I grateful for what you shared, it reminds me, and I thank you for the call, that silence is easy. Or some are afraid they're going to get canceled, whatever that means, right? And I think some concerns are warranted, the idea of maybe losing a job. But do we not know that following Christ comes at a cost? And so what, we're just going to cower? We're just going to be silent? We're just going to go along with whatever is being dictated to us as this is the way we're to live? And that doesn't mean we have to be idiots about it. Doesn't mean we have to be mean-spirited. Where I live, our neighbors across the street, they fly the big pride banner every day. They're very nice people. I say hi to them all the time. I don't have to go over there and knock on the door and tell them they're all going to burn in hell. But I engage. I have conversation with them. And you better believe there may come a day where I might share a little bit about Christ. But I think one of the greatest ploys of the evil one is to keep us silent, keep us pacified, keep us indifferent. Not me, doesn't impact me, not my family, not my house. So why would I do anything? Or living your life out of fear. This idea of I'm just going to be fearful and give up whatever the authorities tell me to do, well, Romans 13, that's what I'm supposed to do. There's a story in the news we'll get to sooner or later about an NFL player. Maybe you heard about him. His name is Cole Beasley. You want to talk about a guy that doesn't live in fear. He's a wonderful example of what I'm talking about, and I don't even know if he's a Christian. But the bottom line, it's usually when it hits us close to home that we do something. And the reality is, it's already hitting us close to home. It's everywhere. 888-528-2557, 888-52-TALKS. This is the Frank Sontag Show.